We did Lishma a few times. But where was well, we had a good question on Lishma. That why? Because the Rambam says you give the kid candy and then you give him money, right? Oh, well, the question we had was like this. Can a guy... question we had like this. Here, this is a good question for Lishma. Think about this. Can a guy... this relates to what you and what the Jeremys were arguing about. Can a person learn... Let's say you want to learn Torah, but you have to first learn Hebrew or something, right? Is that... can you do that Lishma? Well, you said, no, that's not Lishma, because I'm only learning the Hebrew in order to learn. That's automatically not Lishma.
Is there
confusion
like this?
I don't know.
What's considered Talmud Torah? Talmud Torah, in order for Talmud Torah, considered Talmud Torah now. It's second confusion, I'm pretty sure.
Is that it mean would you be Yotzei the mitzvah of Talmud Torah?
Right.
That's a good question.
That question's brought up in Gemara.
But I'm saying, would you call it Lishma? Because right. If Lishma means for no purpose, so then this is definitely has a purpose.
Right. And then bracha is the mitzvah of Torah. You make a bracha on Dibrei Sofer and whatever.
Once I get a follow-up question. Still a follow-up question?
So we were saying the with an idea. So you're saying the entire experience of an idea, the experience, is only an emotional thing.
That's right.
You're using intellect to get to the experience, but the experience is totally emotional.
The fact that the emotions are excited about an idea shows that your mind is really the dominant faculty of reality. That's what it shows. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you have a real competitive guy. So
right.
I bet you I can do this. You know,
right. Right.
So it really gets him into it. He does it well. So should that type of person, should they eventually, like, I mean, should they just keep that there and just keep the experience motion, or should they try to, like, fix it and try to, you know, be like, okay, I'm going to learn this much, but not because I want to beat you, just because I want to, like, should they try to fix it at a certain point, or should they just go with it?
Well, competitiveness, I mean, the Gemara says, Kinas Sofrim is good. But the problem with competitiveness is it's not based on any reality. It's really just based on an egotistical thing.
I know that.
So you have to get out of it. You have to eventually get out of it.
Is that all emotion? Well, yeah, why isn't that any different than emotion having all put in it?
No. It is an appreciation of beauty. You can have an appreciation of beauty.
The loveless, I mean, it's what it comes down to.
But that's an emotional reality.
Well, you should
but competitive,
you should realize that there is no reality.
Competitiveness is purely, I want to be better than the other person. Right? That's all it means. You don't really value the thing. In other words, love of an object can come after I have a true appreciation of its value. That's not a contradiction. I can say I really appreciate it. Mm-hmm. I really view it as great. And therefore, all of the feelings that come along with an object that I value are going to be attached to it. But if I say, I only want to do this because he did it and I want to beat him, then you're saying there's no appreciation of the thing. The appreciation is that I'm going to be in the winner's circle. That's the ultimate appreciation.
Yeah, but you're a winner in defined.
No, you don't care what you're a winner in, really. It doesn't really matter what you're a winner in. You mean true kinas sofrim is because I value it and I want to be... I'm just saying that the very motivation is not... the other ideas are not motivational. There's another thing that motivates you, and they come along. But competition, it means it's the motivate. The whole motivation is that I want to be viewed in a certain way. It's the motivation of competition. It negates the subject matter. On some level, it negates the subject matter.
Why shouldn't it be inside you?
I understand, but
anger.
I'm saying
it's a good lishma. It's bolishma. But if you're lomid lekantir, the Gemara says it's worthless.
Right. Like if the anger is there, why shouldn't
it be? Lekantir is worthless.
Isn't it even worse than worthless?
That's like just to knock the guy.
Saying why shouldn't
that guy?
Lekantir is that you learn just so you can destroy the guy. That you're not allowed to do.
What happened?
That's better. The Gemara says better. You never learn.
I agree.
See, Shai, I'm just saying. Ultimately, if you go down, but you're right. I mean, it could be that a guy really values Torah, right? And he wants to have that image of himself as a Ben Torah, and that he chooses that image because he really knows it's true, right? But then he has a certain feeling of pride in himself, and he wants to have pride in himself too. In that case, you're right. But I'm just saying that to the degree that he's motivated by pride in himself, he's going to have to be... maybe you're right. I mean, once you get into it, you sort of forget why you do. I mean, they have to sort of You have to sort of forget why you're doing it while you're doing it. Otherwise, it's just, it's not possible to have two things like that at one
time.
Why
isn't it b'chol v'avachol, like you were explaining, like Sajigon's list that had kas and other emotions? Why isn't that just the b'chol v'avachol being lava with your yitzhara?
Because b'chol v'avachol, I'm trying to say is that there is a, that the MS is there, and then these are the things that come along with it. But if the whole motivation is to be greater, then that knocks the MS out. Then it's not an appreciation of MS anymore.
The ideas, you're learning to be
better. But why did you pick learning? In other words, you could have chosen to be competitive in sports, but you decided that the thing that matters to you, that you want to be the best at, is this. Doesn't that partake of some mind involvement in the process?
I agree. That's what I was saying a minute ago. That's true. I'm just saying,
tells you what's important to the person.
I agree. I'm saying though that the activity of competition though doesn't allow for Let me think about it a little more. I'm just saying that when a guy is interested in competition, he uses the thing as a tool to aggrandize himself. You know what I mean? Then you're saying the value is that I should be the greatest. Of course, the greatest in the great subject. Otherwise, the subject matter just becomes like a measure of how great I am.
Wouldn't the guy who's involved in learning eventually come to Hakara?
No, that the Mona Lisa, the negative emotions.
So look through the list.
What? Wouldn't the guy who's involved in learning and at a certain point in time come to realize that the Mona Lisa is using garbage and that it's just painting to be relevant?
Right.
And let's say this guy, you know, when he was playing ball tuba when he was 20, but he loved Mona Lisa. He went to see it once a year. He thought it was the most amazing piece of art. And now he really just doesn't care about it. He has no interest in seeing it. It's like a totally ridiculous thing. Because in other words, you realize that the reality is that this thing is just like a stupid object, and that's it. So wouldn't the highest level be that the guy is not going to be emotionally attached to, let's say, the Etzrog? He's going to realize that it's a Dover mitzvah, that other than that, it's really nothing, that the only purpose of it is for the mitzvah, and so I'm doing the mitzvah with it. Like, that's important, but like to buy the nicest Etzrog, like, it's just an Etzrog. Like,
no, I'll tell you this is exactly what I'm trying to say. Saying that what caused the switch in his valuing the Mona Lisa. Because he realized it's based on there's a difference between the appreciation of the Mona Lisa and the valuing it. Okay, valuing it means that you're saying that there's a reality here, that there's an importance in this thing.
Right.
Right. So when he realizes that there's no importance in the thing, then he loses that emotional attachment of a value towards it.
So I'm saying once he.
But that doesn't mean he loses the ability to relate to something that is really important in that way.
Right. In other words, in the Etzrog is important because it's something you need
so
to do
then,
a mitzvah.
So then that same feeling they had towards the Mona Lisa, that was when he wakes up from the feeling of the Mona Lisa, it's not that he's saying these feelings were all nonsense. He's saying these feelings were guided by the wrong principle.
But in other words, when he finds the Etzrog, right? So then he has the Etzrog and he's going to say to himself, in terms of beauty, it's irrelevant. Like, it just needs to be kosher. Like, beauty is not a rational factor here.
But that's not why he doesn't like the Mona Lisa anymore.
Right, I understand. But in other words, wouldn't he have even eventually...
Because
wouldn't the best guy eventually not care about the beauty of the Etzrog either?
Yeah, could be. But look, like the Rambam says, that every mitzvah is not going to benefit everybody in every situation. There are certain people, Moshe Rabbeinu, maybe didn't benefit from the idea of hidden mitzvah. That's not a problem. I'm saying it's for the most people in most situations.
What about the person? I mean, just what we were recording, the poet. What's it called?
Plato.
What's we recording? Plato. He says, at least I know that I know nothing, right?
Oh, Socrates.
Right.
Socrates in
right in the Apology.
In the Apology, which was written by Plato, right? Who was wrote it?
Yeah.
Plato. So it's the same idea. The true chacham learns that he can never really gain ego in learning. I mean, because the second that he knows that he knows nothing, right, he's going to lose that ego pretty fast, you know? Like, and then, like, the second you realize that
there
are so many people who know that much, not only that people know much more than you, but also it's just not obtainable to, like, the subject matter.
You mean like the anivas of Moshe? You mean like how could Moshe be an ono if he knows so much more than everybody else?
You mean the system was huge.
What?
Yeah, as you said, I'm the smartest nigga, at least I know that I know nothing.
I'm done. I don't know.